Hello, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity. And I wanted to take a few minutes to record this particular sermon because I don't have it in any of my records. And I had to reach back a couple of years because when we try to sync 3 years in a row, sometimes it gets kind of off. And I was having issues with trying to match the Sundays. So I reached back and I pulled out this one called Quit Hiding in the Darkness. And it's for the second Sunday in Epiphany. And I thought that we could maybe have this to where you can watch or listen to it. What we'll do is we'll read the passages and then we'll talk about it a little bit, and then we'll close with communion and a benediction. So the scriptures that this particular blog draws on are in John 1. And John 1, 29-42 is the entire reading. The portion that we're going to talk about today is verses 32-34, and this is in the New American Standard Bible. Reads like this: John testified, saying, "I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'" One of the other readings is in Isaiah 49, but I am only drawing upon verse 6, which goes like this. He says, quote, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Unquote. So that's the prophetic word from Isaiah. So for the Revised Common Lectionary this week, those are the passages that had popped out to me when I was writing this blog back. And I actually wrote this back in January 10th of 2020. I started out by saying that my daughter and I, we were waiting at a stoplight, waiting for the light to change. And it occurred to us that we hardly ever enter this particular intersection from the side we were entering that day. We usually come from the north or the south or the west, but not from this direction. And so to us, we didn't really recognize the intersection. It seemed like something wasn't quite right, like, you know, we hadn't been there before. But in reality, the intersection hadn't changed at all. What changed was the way in which we had approached it. We're the ones who changed over time as we experienced the intersection in new ways. In fact, seeing the intersection from all sides eventually made it a more familiar place as we drove through it on our way to other places. And in many ways, our experience of life follows certain patterns, many of which were formed as we grew up. We have certain preferences, expectations, and inhibitions, which find their roots in our past and in those significant relationships which impact our formation. We follow familiar paths and often choose items and activities that we feel the most comfortable with. Our actions and ways of living may be unhealthy or healthy. It depends on how they affect us and those around us, because they're how we normally respond. That's how we normally respond. We call them our normal. This is our normal. And, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, our normal gets changed, right? When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's as if we encounter life from an entirely new viewpoint. In Jesus, we have a revelation not only of who God is, but who we are as image bearers of God. Most everything in our life is the same, but we begin seeing it all in new ways and are faced with new ways of being and living. And these are not our normal anymore. Rather, at first, they can seem very abnormal and uncomfortable. Now, our encounter with the new life that we have in Christ, it may be a joyful experience, but for many of us, it is also accompanied by a realization that our previous way of living doesn't really mesh well with who we are or who God has declared us to be in Jesus Christ. Seeing life in this new way creates a crisis in our lives. God's judgment on all that does not clearly reflect the love and grace of God is that God's judgment is, it must go. Those things that don't look like Jesus, they've got to go. And that's where we resist the Spirit's work in our lives. The Spirit works to bring us up into Christ. And we resist that because it's uncomfortable. It doesn't seem normal to us. The truth, though, is that Jesus came as a light in our darkness. He was be the light to the nations, light of the nations. And Abba's purpose, our Heavenly Father's purpose, was to bring us out of darkness into His marvelous light, rescuing us from the domain of darkness and transferring us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. So that statement, out of darkness into His marvelous light, you'll find that in 1 Peter 2:9. And rescuing us from the domain of darkness and transferring us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, you'll find that in Colossians 1:13. As the light of the world, you know, Jesus illuminates the darkness of our wrong ways of thinking and believing about God and His love for us and who we are as His beloved children. Unfortunately, we as human beings prefer to live and walk in the darkness. We don't want to have to change the way we think, feel, or treat others. This requires too much of us. When we have to make changes like these in our lives, suddenly we are no longer in control of what's happening in the world. We're no longer able to hide behind what is comfortable, familiar, or convenient. In fact, the Spirit may ask us to do what is unfamiliar, uncomfortable, and inconvenient. Oh, we hate that, don't we? God often asks us to love those who are unlovable, who in fact hate us. Jesus' way of being is that of turning the other cheek, of praying for those who do not love us, or being kind to those who treat us unkindly. He teaches us to take a stand against evil while not resisting it. His life and ministry teach us to love and serve freely, even if it means the loss of what we humanly value the most. These are hard things. The culture in which we live, the way we were raised, and the way we feel most comfortable doing things is often diametrically opposed to Christ's way of approaching life. Jesus' way of being was that of a servant, of doing good to others, of caring for the downtrodden, those exiled by community and rejected by society. His life was other-centered, not hedonistic and self-centered and self-indulgent. To follow Christ means participating in His death and resurrection. And this means there are some things in our lives which must die so that the new life we have in Christ may be lived out and enjoyed. When John the Baptizer encountered Jesus on the shores of the Jordan, he pointed Him out to those around him as being the Lamb of God, the one who would take away the sin of the world. John said that Jesus existed long before he did, even though he knew Jesus was birthed by Mary several months after John had been born of his mother Elizabeth. His point, John's point, was that Jesus was the divine Son of God, present in their midst for the purpose of freeing the world from sin. The world, or cosmos, that's the Greek word, K-O-S-M-O-S, the world, or cosmos, included every human being, and this was a far cry from just freeing the Jewish people from sin. Jesus' baptism in the Jordan and in the Spirit immersed all humanity in his baptism. We were all included in what Jesus did that day. Our inclusion in Jesus' baptism is our inclusion in his life and death. And we express this as we ourselves participate in the sacrament of baptism. Our baptism, being buried with Jesus in his death and risen with him in his resurrection, means the old is gone and the new has come. We respond to Christ's call to Lazarus in the tomb, "Lazarus, come forth." Called out of the darkness, we come into the light and begin to live and walk in the day, leaving the night behind. This means, though, that what is normal is no longer normal. What is familiar needs to be replaced by what is Christ-like. What we used to value needs to be replaced with what is intrinsically of eternal value and worth. This is the work of the Spirit, who, as we respond to Christ in faith, gradually washes away anything that does not resemble our Savior Jesus and infuses us with him in his nature in our place. Or in its place, yeah. Our participation in this process is faith and in joyful gratitude, following Jesus wherever he leads us. This is radical discipleship, laying down our lives as Christ laid down his. Dying to self and living to Christ is living and walking in the light, leaving the darkness behind. We are free not to do whatever we want, whenever, however we want, but free to love God and love one another the way we were created to. We feed on Christ, drawing upon the Spirit, finding our life in God alone. And soon, after walking a while on the road with Jesus, we will be astonished to find what is so unfamiliar to us is actually our true home. Let's take a moment now to take communion together. If we want to take some bread or crackers and some wine and we'll take these in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us in his death and resurrection. Will you pray with me? Father Jesus Spirit, we're so grateful for what you've done for us to draw us into life with you. Help us now to embrace our new life that is in Christ, to be willing to make the sacrifices that go with it, and to receive all that you've given to us in your own Son. Father, you have given us life. Help us to receive and live it out by your Spirit. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we take the bread in remembrance of Jesus, his broken body, offered for us, the body of Christ. And we take the wine, Christ's blood, poured out for us, we give thanks for this gift, the blood of Christ. Thank you for joining me today at Our Life in the Trinity. And thank you that you've been a part of this ministry for so long. I ask God's blessings on you. May He bless you, keep you, smile on you, and give you His peace. God bless.